Julie Kramer is the winner of the Minnesota Book Award and the RT Reviewers Award for Best First Mystery. She's also been a finalist for the Anthony, Barry, Seamus, Mary Higgins Clark, and Daphne Du Maurier and RT Reviewers Best Amateur Sleuth Awards, and she lives in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. She has a new novel out that's about her main character, Riley Spartz. It's called Shunning Sarah. Julie Kramer's back with us on KAXE. Julie, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me back again.
You're welcome. So I got so enmeshed in this book that when I call you to talk to you, I want to call you Sarah. I get mixed up with with Julie Kramer because Sarah is so big in my mind. I wonder if we can kind of start with this character of Sarah and where the idea for this book came from.
Well, apparently Amish fiction is kind of hot right now, told anyway, but I didn't know that at the time I was writing the book. At the time I was writing the book, I needed a new adventure for my heroine, and I like each book to be very different as far as the crime that she's investigating. And because Minnesota has an old order Amish community in southern Minnesota, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if she had to go there to investigate a homicide?
You know, what's so interesting to me about the books that you do about Riley Spartz is that, you know, when we pick up a mystery as a reader, there's certain things that you're used to, and that's part of what's attractive about it. You know, the storyline will surprise you, but you're sort of looking for certain things. Your character, Riley Spartz, is a TV news reporter solving a crime, and I just have always been drawn to her because I haven't read a mystery from that point of view before.
Well, writing Shunning Sarah kind of allowed me to put together two parts of my life, my career in television news, but also I grew up in southern Minnesota on the Minnesota-Iowa border on a family farm, a fourth generation, and, you know, that's not far from where this Amish community in Harmony is. And my father knew some Amish people, and so it allowed me to combine that part of my life and TV news in one book.
So tell us more about Riley. What's going on right now in the world of TV news for her?
Well, lots of media have this problem. It's kind of a media meltdown going on now with downsizing. All media are trying to, just like a lot of other companies, trying to save money, trying to see if they can do the same job with fewer people and fewer dollars. And she has a new boss this book, and he has some ideas on how they might be able to accomplish those things.
Tell us about what a one-man band is.
A one-man band is a term used in television markets in which one person shoots the video, reports, and often edits it too. It's the same person who does all the jobs. Typically, smaller markets routinely have those, but it's been less frequent in larger markets, although some larger markets are starting to introduce that concept as well.
So Riley's faced with some big changes in her newsroom and comes across this story happening. I wonder if you can tell us more what draws her down to the Amish community in the first place.
She gets a tip that a local boy has fallen into a sinkhole. Sinkholes are pretty common in southern Minnesota. But by the time she gets there, the child's been rescued. And it might have been the kind of thing where, okay, you know, we have a story about, you know, a happy rescue. But it ends up he was not alone in the sinkhole. The body of a woman was found in there as well. And she can't immediately be identified because her face has been damaged. She's a homicide victim, and the police have a forensic sketch artist draw what she would have looked like were she alive. And that sketch is broadcast on TV stations, printed in newspapers, put on posters around, you know, the area. And eventually she goes from being a Jane Doe to being identified as Sarah Yoder, a local Amish woman. And Sarah's family, when they hear about this, is quite upset. Not as much that she's been murdered, but that her face is being broadcast all over. Because in the Amish religion, a picture of oneself is considered prideful and a violation of the biblical ban on graven images. So they want the media and the police to stop distributing the picture because they find that offensive, even though it might lead to clues to find her killer.
It's such an interesting storyline because normally a family is wants to find out who has killed someone or wants, you know, a picture to be shown so that you can solve that kind of mystery. How does Riley go about kind of getting into the Amish community a little bit or finding more information out?
Well, it's real difficult because they're kind of a cloistered society and they don't appreciate people coming by and asking questions. And also within the Amish culture, forgiveness is highly valued. It's much more valued over prosecution. If you recall, and there's references to some of this stuff in my book, if you recall the shooting of an Amish school in Ohio some time ago, the families of the victims forgave the killer. And there's also references in my book to some rogue Amish who are cutting the hair and beards off other Amish, and that case is unfolding in Ohio courts now. So I'm highly influenced by happenings around me as I write. And it was just an interesting thought about, you know, as a culture, as a family, where does forgiveness fit in versus prosecution? And so I wanted to kind of examine that. The Amish have been around a long time. The Amish religion dates back to the 16th century and came about at the same time Martin Luther was leading the Reformation against the Catholic Church. And it wasn't just the Protestants who wanted to change the Catholic Church. There was another group as well, and that was the Anabaptists. And from them is where the Amish came from. And their central belief was that you needed to be an adult to be baptized. That set them apart from other religions. They also believed that forgiveness of sins and absolution could come about by, you know, just personal regret as opposed to a formal confession rite. And some of these things really resonated with the peasant class of Europe at that time. And so the other religions were threatened by that, and the Amish became persecuted and needed to practice their religion in secret. And a lot of scholars today think that that's why the Amish are so reclusive. It's because they rejected, you know, the rest of society centuries ago. This was not, you know, a recent phenomenon, and that has been what their culture has always relied upon.
We're talking with Julie Kramer about her latest mystery that's out. It's called Shunning Sarah. Tell us about the idea of shunning and what that means to the Amish community.
Shunning is such a powerful verb in the Amish world. It's ostracization, excommunication, rejection. When someone has done something that's led to disapproval within the Amish society, they are shunned. And it's a painful experience for them. They can't eat with family members. People won't talk to them. People will not eat food they've prepared. And they often have, you know, nowhere to go. And the point of the shunning is Amish religious leaders would say it's not so much to be punitive. It's so that they can see the error of their ways and come back to the fold. And for my books, they always have a verb and a name. And because of, you know, the powerful connotations with the word shunning, I used shunning as a verb this time. And I needed a biblical name to go with that. So Sarah is a very common Amish name, so that's how we got to have Shunning Sarah. If you recall, that's kind of the pattern with my books these days, Stalking Susan, Missing Mark, Silencing Sam, Killing Kate, and now Shunning Sarah.
What was it like for you? Were you able to talk with Amish people, or what was the research process like for you?
The research was very interesting in this book. I enjoyed it immensely. I had already grown up with some understanding of Amish culture. But I went down to Harmony, Minnesota. Harmony is an old order Amish community. About 1,000 Amish people live in the surrounding area there. And it's one of the fastest growing old order Amish communities in the country. And old order means the most conservative of the Amish. They use hook and eyes in their clothes and not even buttons because buttons are considered too flashy. And so I went down there, and I hung around, and I took a tour, and then I would drive around the countryside. And a lot of the Amish farms have hand-painted signs saying eggs for sale, new potatoes, crafts. And I'd pull in, and I'd talk to people, and some people would talk to me, and some people wouldn't talk to me. I also read a lot of memoirs written by people who've left the Amish faith, because for my book, conflict brings good storytelling. And I've got conflict between TV news and the Amish. But I didn't want it to be just, you know, conflict between the Amish and the English, which is what they call outsiders. I wanted to also reflect conflict within the Amish themselves. And so in some ways it was a tricky story to write.
Did you have any feelings as you were in Harmony of, you know, either thinking that this sort of simpler, quieter life had had something going for it, or maybe not understanding how you could be cut off from society, from what we're used to, maybe?
Well, you know, we're surrounded by technology, and sometimes we feel that, you know, our lives are moving too fast, and we kind of crave a simpler time. And so in some ways, maybe we're a little envious of the Amish, and we glamorize the simple life that they lead. But, you know, leading a simple life does not mean that your life is easy. It's hard to be Amish and to not have a lot of the conveniences that we have. When Amish do not use electricity. Although, like in dairy barns, the men are allowed to use gas engines to help with chores, but yet in the household, women still have to do clothes by hand. So, you know, being a woman in the Amish world is difficult.
Julie, I talked about being intrigued by your main character in all of the mysteries that you've written. Riley Spartz appeals to me because she's not a police detective. She's not who I'm normally reading at the center of a mystery. What do you think that means about her motives for wanting to solve something?
She's, you know, kind of more what you call an amateur sleuth, in that she's not a professional law enforcement person. She's not a detective, as you said, but in the course of doing her job, she's drawn into investigating crimes. And each one you want to have be a little different than the other. And part of the amateur sleuth appeal to readers is it is someone who's, you know, doing their job and not looking for trouble, but suddenly trouble is surrounding them.
It seems like to me that, I mean, I don't feel like Riley is merely doing these stories to get good ratings, although that's a huge bonus that's going to help her in her career. But there is some ambiguity sometimes in how she's solving things, because she's doing it sort of for a different reason in some ways.
Well, you know, what's sort of difficult about having a TV reporter as a protagonist these days is Gallup, for instance, just came out a few weeks ago with a poll that said America's trust in television news is at an all-time low. Now, in the world of publishing, there's sort of this unwritten rule that a protagonist has to be likable in order to succeed with readers. So my challenge is, how do I have a likable TV reporter at a time when many Americans despise what she does for a living? So that also makes it a tricky write. And I think the reason that it works is that she's fairly cynical and upfront about the shortcomings and flaws of her profession, and is kind of candid about what some of the troubles are within a newsroom. And I think people like hearing that because it resonates with them. And sometimes people tell me that when they read one of my books and then watch TV news, they watch TV news differently. And that's good because, you know, we want to be questioning and, you know, thinking about what we're seeing in the world of news.
And Riley doesn't have, she's had a difficult life. Where do we find her in terms of her personal life in Shunning Sarah?
Her personal life has always been a little bit of a challenge. She's kind of a workaholic, and so she doesn't have much of a personal life, and her personal life is not an easy one. One of the questions that readers ask me the most is, you know, because she has a kind of an on-again, off-again boyfriend, Nick Garnett, is when are they going to get married? And sometimes I counter with, well, do you want them to get married or do you not want them to get married? And then they're not sure anymore. Because there also is this feeling, like from the Moonlighting show, that if the protagonists finally get together, then, you know, tension is lost.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure where that's headed.
Which is kind of fun. I went into this story thinking that her personal life would be different than it ends up being. And I always appreciate that when I'm surprised by a book.
And, you know, I'm always surprised by my books, too. I don't outline them. I just kind of write them. And when I start out a book, I don't know who the killer is. And sometimes I switch killers a couple of times in the course of writing. And people will say, when I was reading this, I was sure so-and-so was the killer. Well, you know, for a while, maybe I was, too.
That's interesting. You write in the acknowledgments about the ending and working with, I don't know if it's your editor, but I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that, about how other people help you to find what might be a better outcome than what you originally thought.
Some people say that, you know, with publishing and all the cutbacks happening in publishing, that editors don't edit anymore. But I feel very fortunate. I'm with a very good editor, Emily Bessler, and she edits Jody Picoult and Vince Flynn as well. And when I wrote this book, my first version of the ending is not the version that you see in the final copy of Shunning Sarah. I had a different version. And I wasn't sure, sometimes as an author, you're not sure if what you've written is truly brilliant or truly horrible. And my first ending had a real symmetry to it that I really, really liked. But I'd also had, you know, some elements that I wasn't that crazy about and wondered if it was bordering on, you know, the really bad. And in talking to my editor, I told her that I had an alternate ending that I was kind of playing around in my mind. And she agreed that the first ending was pretty extreme and harsh, and did I want to go there? And so I decided to write the other ending just to kind of see how it fell together. And when I wrote it, I was, you know, certain that that was the better ending.
You know, you have...
And as I tell people, if you want to know what the other ending is, read the book and then, you know, send me an email to my website, and I'll tell you what the other ending was, and you can debate amongst your book clubs which ending you prefer.
Oh,
I know for my 19-year-old son, when he heard there was another ending, he asked about it, and when I told him, he goes, "Oh, wow, Mom, that would have been cool."
Well, I'm going to email you after I talk to you. That's good to know. What an interesting thing to be talking about with book groups. Julie, you know, you have this background in television and producing, and, you know, much what brings us this character of Riley Spartz. What are your friends from that world? How do they influence what you're doing now?
Well, sometimes they wish I wasn't so candid in my books about some of the shortcomings of the newsroom. You know, they really wish I wouldn't have said, if it leads, did you have to tell them that, they'll ask. But I still am in touch, and, you know, working in news is an exhilarating business. Anytime there's a big story, you always miss being in the newsroom. And that's the way it would be with Riley. Some people say, do you think she should get a different job? And I don't know. I think it would be a different series then. I don't think it would be the same.
Yeah.
Because she is a news junkie.
So is it exhilarating now, being a novelist, writing these mysteries?
Anytime there's a big news story going on, I always miss being there in the fray.
The latest book is called Shunning Sarah by Julie Kramer. You can find lots more information on all of her books at Julie Kramer Books.
JulieKramerBooks.com.
Sounds great. Julie, thanks so much for talking with us again. We wish you best of luck with the latest novel.
Thanks so much, Heidi.